ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नम ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने, नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे, जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा, अ वार्म वेलकम टू ऑल द स्टूडेंट्स, स्पेशल गेस्ट्स, डिवोटीज हु आर असेंबल्ड हियर फॉर द फर्स्ट प्रेरणा फेस्टिवल एट पुणे। I am indeed honored to be here amongst all of you, and I am grateful to the organizers for inviting me for today's program and giving me this opportunity to speak. So we are discussing on this very important topic, overcoming greed. So today's topic will be analyzed in the following pattern. We'll discuss what is a problem, then some causes, the symptoms, the causes, and ultimately the solutions and the applications. And we will see how greed is a very powerful problem facing all of us individually and manifest collectively in society. It can create great havoc. Generally, I begin my presentation with a small story. There were two friends who were walking on the road. So one of the friends was looking very morose, very sad. And the other friend asked him, "Is okay? This?" So the friend was asking him, "What's the problem? Why are you looking so sad?" And the first fellow replied that, "3 weeks back, one of my uncles passed away and he left behind 50 lakh rupees for me as inheritance." So the other fellow was quite bewildered. He said, "It's a big amount." "And then what happened?" Then he said, "2 weeks back, one of my grandmothers passed away and she left behind for me 75 lakh rupees inheritance." The friend said, "That's great. And then what happened?" "And then last week, one of my grandfathers died and he left behind 1 crore of rupees for me." So the other fellow was saying, "Why are you looking so sad? If so many people have left behind so much for you, why are you looking so morose?" And this fellow said, "This week, nothing has happened." This is the nature of greed. This is the nature of desire. There is no end. There is no end to it. There is absolutely no way one can satisfy it. And that is exactly what we are going to discuss in today's discussion. So let's see the definition of greed. Greed is defined as desiring excessively or possessing, especially wishing to possess more than what one needs or desires. So everyone, according to his capacity, has been given certain facilities in this creation. The ant gets his food, the elephant gets his food. But especially human being is endowed with this special quality of accumulating more than what he needs. We have a famous example. There was an ex-president of Philippines. When he was deposed and they made a raid on his palace, they found that his wife, Imelda Marcos, she was owning 30,000 pairs of shoes. Now we have only 2 feet. Now if you have 30,000 pair of shoes, as one of our devotees were mentioning once, if you have to wear 30,000 pair of shoes, you have to show the Virat Roop. Only then you can wear. Otherwise, normal person, he cannot utilize this. But why a person develops this inclination to accumulate so much? Because of greed. So that is exactly the meaning of this. Desirous of possessing more than what one needs. There are some interesting quotes which great philosophers, thinkers, over a period of time in history have mentioned about greed. So you can go through this list. Although gold dust is precious, it can obstruct your vision when it gets in your eyes. Another thinker has said, when it is a question of money, everyone is of the same religion. God looks at the clean hands, not the full ones. Too many people miss the silver lining because they're expecting gold. Want is a growing gent whom the coat of have was never able to cover. So like this, there are so many quotations, or like the famous one of the past, when wealth is lost, nothing is lost, health is lost, something is lost, character is lost, everything is lost. This was once upon a time a famous saying, but now in this age and day, it has become exactly opposite. People have principles which go exactly opposite to this saying. They feel if character is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, something is lost. But if wealth is lost, everything is lost. They have this motto which is exactly opposite to what traditional thinkers have always believed. So we can see the extent of degradation which is taking place in this age. And therefore, it is very important to educate people in values, in principles. And in forums such as these, we can disseminate knowledge, information regarding problems facing mankind from within, which manifests in various problems without. And that is exactly the reason why Youth Forum and BASE, they are organizing these programs, so that at one shot, hundreds of students who are at an age where they are building their character and values, get these principles deep within their system. Because these are habit-forming years. And all of you are going to be leaders in tomorrow's society. And therefore, depending on the kind of intelligence which you have, the kind of motivation and attitude you have, will decide the kind of treatment your dependents will receive. And once you know the power and the great damage which can be done by greed, then you will make a conscious effort to lead a life free from greed. And by that, you will benefit, and people whom you are leading tomorrow will benefit. And therefore, such programs are very, very important. Because real service can only be performed by someone whose heart is free from greed. A person is selfish and a person is selfless. Who can perform better quality of service? A selfish man or a selfless man? Therefore, a heart free from greed is the basis, is the foundation for selfless service. And therefore, this anartha, this problem, this disease has to be discussed in great detail so that we can become free from it. Or as they say, a miser isn't fun to live with. You must have heard of this saying. A miser is not fun to live with, but he makes a great ancestor. That means once he is gone, then he leaves behind so much of money. Then people like that. So that becomes his motto, just accumulation. So therefore, what are the symptoms and consequences of greed? Greed is oftentimes thought to be a very innocuous problem, a problem which does not really matter so much, which does not influence us in a negative way. So why discuss about it? When you say anger, people agree, anger is deadly. If you say lust, people agree, yes, lust is a deadly problem. But if you say greed, then many people have doubt. And they say, why are you discussing greed? If there is no greed, what will be motivation to work? We need something to drive us. Already we are having tough time being motivated. And on top of that, you have seminars like this saying, overcoming greed. Then practically we will have no motivation. But no, there is a great difference. And most of us do not understand and realize the consequences which this greed can have. And therefore, let us see some of the symptoms and consequences. And these are divided into various categories: physiological, financial, corporate, social, family, emotional, political. And let us see each one of these. First is physiological consequence of greed. And the symptom of this is meat eating. Meat eating symptomizes this greed. How is that? It has these consequences. First of all, there is death. What does this mean? It has been found that for those who have a meat-based diet, there is a heart attack 1 in 45 seconds in the United States. A person who leads a life with meat-centered diet has a 50% chance of having a heart attack more, whereas a vegetarian has only 15% chance of getting a heart attack. And therefore, the risk factor of death is much more when there is a meat-based diet. Then there is disease. There was the president of the meat board, his name was James Garner. And he used to come in an ad campaign advertising for meat, popularizing meat, popularizing meat eating, encouraging people to eat meat more. But then in year 1988, he was struck by a deadly heart disease and he had to go through quintuple coronary bypass heart surgery. And after that, he realized that because of his meat-based diet, he became sick. And he got so furious that he literally sued the meat board. He was the man who was advertising the most for a meat-based diet, but because of the influence of the disease, he realized his mistake. And then third is desire. In order to preserve the meat, lot of chemicals are added. And these chemicals have a similar effect on our body, on our physiological system, as nicotine has. When you take intoxicants, someone who smokes cigarette, where does he get that addiction pangs from? It is because of the influence of nicotine on the system. Similarly, chemicals which are used to preserve this meat, they have a similar effect like nicotine, and they create a craving within. And a person has an irresistible urge to eat meat again and again and again. And in fact, many of this is manipulated by these big multinational companies. These chemicals are incorporated so that people get that urge and they cannot resist but eat meat. In fact, I know one story of a Japanese scientist who had come to attend one of our conferences. There was a conference on synthesis of science and religion, which was held a few years back. And the conference is organized by us so that we get a chance to interact with the scientists. The scientists who create the greatest viewpoints amongst people in future, they get a chance to appreciate Krishna consciousness, they get a chance to interface with the devotees, they read Prabhupada's books, they hear the philosophy, they get a chance to see ISKCON in action, and they become favorable. So it's a good chance to cultivate scientists, and so these kind of conferences are organized. But the scientists who come there, they are not much in a mood to hear. They are in a mood to go on speaking their own philosophy. So therefore, it is very difficult for them to appreciate Krishna consciousness. But one good thing about the whole conference is, we offer them real good first class prasad. It is the best prasad offered in any ISKCON program ever. Fantastic, delicious feasts are offered on all 2 or 3 days of the conference. And apart from that, when you go and sit for the lectures, they are very, very complex. Unless someone is really scientific, finds it very difficult to appreciate and understand. And in fact, I had gone for one of these conferences and I was sitting and some of the scientists were speaking really high scientific stuff. And the room is completely air-conditioned, beautiful auditorium, it's all dark, the stage is lit up, and it's very difficult to comprehend what exactly is going on because it is so much of scientific jargon. I was talking to one sannyasi and he was asking me, okay, you are from science background, so definitely you must be understanding what's happening. I said, it's beyond me, it beats me. I said that, I mean, I try to understand, but now and then I go to sleep in between. And he told me, you're lucky. As far as I'm concerned, I wake up in between. Because it's so high. But he said, good thing is, they are giving real good prasad. For pleasing the scientists, they are giving good prasad, and therefore we are also getting that benefit. So the prasad was really very good. So the point is, after feeding such fantastic prasad, you would expect that a person would be satisfied. And so there was this gentleman, this Japanese scientist, and the devotee was serving him on the last day of the conference, met him and asked him, so sir, now after this conference, what has been your experience? What are your impressions about this program? And he said, it was good, it was nice, I got a chance to present my seminar. And the devotee said, what about the food? Did you like it? He said, yes, food was good, it was okay. But I am missing one thing. So the devotee said, what are you missing? He said, I am missing my favorite fish, which I have every day, and I must have every day. But they are not serving me here for the last 3-4 days. I'm just waiting to catch the next flight back to Japan so that I can have my favorite fish. So this is craving. When a person gets addicted, it's practically impossible for him to live without it. But little do we realize that a meat-based diet has deadly consequences. Not only on health, but also on ecology, also on the economy. And basically from a moral point of view, it has its own implications. In fact, if the whole modern society shifts from a meat-based diet to a completely vegetarian diet, we will be saving so much of petroleum reserves. The way things are moving right now, because of the kind of petroleum reserves are being depleted so fast, we will be left with practically no reserves in another 13 to 14 years. But if the whole society shifts to a vegetarian diet, the same petroleum reserves will suffice for the next 260 years. That is the influence of simply changing the type of diet. Therefore, these are some of the consequences. And what to speak of cruelty on animals. All over the world, 5 lakh animals are slaughtered every hour. mercilessly killed, destroyed, simply to satisfy the greed of the tongue. This is the first consequence, physiological. Second is financial. How does greed have financial consequences? And the symptom for this is gambling. So there is one institute called PGRI. And you may wonder, what is this PGRI? It is Public Gambling Research Institute. There is an institute to research on gambling. And there is one Dr. John Skahn, who has done his PhD in gambling. And he has given some statistics that he did a study on 1 lakh gamblers. That was a sample study. And he was in Las Vegas, which is like the Mecca for gamblers. And he did his study over a period of several years and came up with these conclusions that practically 1/3, the amount of money revenue generated through gambling accounts for 1/3 of the GNP in the USA. And in 1988, this is ages back, it valued up to $1 trillion, the kind of money which is generated. And according to his study, in United States society alone, 60% of the adults were seen to be addicted to gambling of some sort or the other. And near home, in India, we have seen that last few years there has been so many talk of match fixing. Few years back, when a boy and girl could come together for marriage, that would be called match fixing. Now if you say that somebody is, you know, going for match fixing, it has a different connotation. Cricket was supposed to be just a game, but now so much of money is involved. People are gambling on every ball, and practically crores and crores of rupees are changing hands just through some match. So this gambling is a product of overwhelming greed. People want to make quick bucks out of nothing. So what are the consequences? Definitely, first is dishonesty. Because you want to make money fast, you don't care how you make the money. Second and very important consequence is contempt for life itself. A very deadly story from Las Vegas. There is a hospital in Las Vegas called Sunrise Hospital. Suddenly the management found that the number of deaths amongst the terminally ill patients was increasing rapidly. For no reason, terminally ill patients were dying before time. And even the doctors were bewildered why this was happening. They made an investigation, and to their shock and horror, they found out that some of the nurses who were treating these patients were indulging in gambling. Gambling on the patients. Who will go first? And they were betting their money. $1,000, bed number 4. $2,000, bed number 5. And when they found that they are losing the bed, they would switch off the oxygen support system and kill the patient. Very deadly, horrible way of making money. But you can see, for a gambler, what is life? Money is life. And if money is being snatched away, he's losing money means he's losing life. So if someone is losing life, he doesn't mind taking life. So you may think greed is not a big problem. Greed is okay. Greed is a friend. Some amount of greed should be there. But greed can go to the extent of making a person killer. It results in contempt for life itself. And thirdly, the crime rate increases. because most of these gambling casinos are dealing with money which is unaccounted for. And also these casinos need to recover money from people who gamble. And once a person has lost everything, he is not in a position to give. So therefore, the casinos depend on the criminals to go and collect. And then the criminals depend on the casinos to give them some money for rolling. And in this way, it's a very close nexus. And the crime rate increases many times over because of gambling. Third is, at the corporate level, there is scamming. And so many scams we have seen, especially in India and also abroad. There is break of economy, loss of public faith, there is insecurity. Recently, all of you must have heard, last couple of years, Arthur Anderson, Xerox, and all of these firms, they were caught in such a big scandal. So people lost faith in the whole institution of chartered accountants, that what is happening? There is a nexus between management and the accountancy firms, and they are simply manipulating all of the results so that the economy is not disturbed. And closer home in Mumbai, many years back, Harshad Mehta had created a big scam. Hundreds and thousands of people had lost their money. The economy had crashed like anything. And like that, practically, now and then these scandals keep coming up. Why is this? Because of greed. It is nothing but the influence of greed. And in India, it may be a small time. In many parts of the world, it is big time. And one doesn't even come to know till it just erupts in a big way. As one of the billboards in Mumbai said, after this Enron and Arthur Anderson scandal broke up, that if India is a college for corruption, US is university. Because of the magnitude of the corruption and the kind of money which was involved in this corruption scandal. So therefore, at the corporate level, greed drives people crazy. And right now the whole world is talking about, especially in India, they're talking about the split, the impending split in the Ambani family. And after Dhirubhai Ambani left, people, all the shareholders whose money was at stake, they were all praying to both the brothers, please stay together like Ram and Lakshman. Please stay together. Now, is it that the people are interested in Ramayana? No. If they stay together, they will make good money. The shareholders will make good money. And therefore, they were requesting and praying like that. And now we can see that in a short time, people can see differences are coming up. And as soon as there is money involved, there are issues. And therefore, at the corporate level, greed results in various kinds of discrepancies which affects people. At the social level, greed results in crime. The increasing crime rate is an effect of greed. And this results in insecurity and unrest. A few years back, the Bombay police had a raid on one of the outlets of one of the dons in Bombay. And he was a very well-known crime don staying in one of the areas. And when they raided his apartment, his hideout, they found out huge bunches of letters. And these letters were from young boys from all over Maharashtra. And these letters were requests that we are, you know, 10th standard pass, 12th standard pass, we want to make a career in crime. We want to join your gang. Please give us permission to come and join. And these are my qualifications. I have been pickpocket for 2 years. I was involved in the rioting. I broke up this shop. I did this, I did that. They have given their qualification of previous experience and how they are qualified to become criminal in their gang. So can you imagine young 16 to 20 year old boys, they are contemplating how to become criminals. Why? Because they want to make quick money. They don't want to work hard. What is the reason? Because of greed. One of my other friends, he became a devotee in jail, and then he met us. He met Haridas Prabhu, he met me. He was from Kolhapur jail. He was framed in some crime of double murder, extortion, kidnapping. And he was telling us his experience that as soon as he was framed by one of his business rivals for double murder, extortion and kidnapping, he was put in the jail in Kolhapur. The day he was being taken to the jail, the news had already spread inside the jail that, you know, a big man is coming. So in the jail there is a totally different social system. If you are a murderer, means you are one of the great souls. So this fellow was a double murderer, extortionist, plus kidnapping. So as soon as he entered, there was like a grand royal welcome for him. That is one of the great personalities who is coming. And he was only a businessman before, he had no experience of crime and he was framed. As soon as he came inside, there were representatives from various gangs inside the jail. And all of them started making offers. Join our gang, join our gang. There was a complete recruitment agency inside. Various gangs have kept their people permanently inside. They are not criminal, but their families are taken care. And these few fellows, only job is to stay inside jail and keep a lookout for the latest criminal coming in and recruit them. It is like campus interview inside the jail going on. And he said, you won't believe how organized their whole system is. So even if someone comes in for pickpocket or some obscure charge, by the time he comes in, he gets such offers within, which is so overwhelming that he can't resist. He decides to take up his career as a criminal. And therefore, we should know that socially, it's a big problem. Because of greed, young people want to make quick bucks. And therefore, they don't care anything about moral values or character, willing to do anything. And also, we find that impelled by greed, generally we would always think that crime would mean stealing something from without. But nowadays, you are not even guaranteed that someone can come and steal your kidney also, which is deep within your body. And therefore, some hospitals in Australia, they found a major racket, where as soon as patient would get admitted, by the time he would be released, he'll realize he has lost one kidney. Because the kidney has been stolen and sold for $10,000. Why? Greed. So you don't care for a person's health, for his life, just to make some money. At the level of family, there are problems because of greed. Many times, agreements are made even before marriage that if there is a divorce, how much money you will get, how much money I will get. That is the foundation for this marriage. It is based on money. And then in India, one of the very difficult problems to face is dowry. An engineer, 1 lakh, doctor, 2 lakhs, IAS officer, 5 lakh. So different rates, you know, according to the different areas, you know, and these things are paraded. The rates are given. And many times, I know of actual cases where the girl's party kidnaps the boy forcibly and then gets them married off. Because the kidnapper takes only 50,000 rupees and the boy is demanding 2 lakh. So the marriage is performed by force. And then after the marriage is performed, what can be done? So kidnapping turns out to be a cheaper alternative. than actually going through the whole dowry procedure. So what exactly is the mood and the motivation for marriage? It is all based on money. And therefore it creates conflict before the marriage and inevitably after. Therefore this results in insecurity, personality disorders. Emotionally, it results in dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction. A person is never satisfied, whatever he may receive. Right. So, this results in stress, suicide, and failure of, and various kinds of problems related to the mind. In fact, if you go on the net, there are more than 4.7 lakh documents dealing with the word stress. Just going through that will make you stressful. Because people are experiencing this emotional disorder because of dissatisfaction. And psychiatrists have come up with a new type of syndrome called beautiful people syndrome. What is that? So all of us are exposing ourselves to media, to the television, to the movies. And all these movies, TV serials, magazines are portraying the lives of beautiful, successful, highly educated people who have made it in life. And by constantly being bombarded with these images and stories, each one of us develops aspirations accordingly. Each one of us wants to be beautiful, handsome, successful, wealthy, rich, powerful, like these personalities we are reading and seeing in newspapers, TV serials, films. And therefore, a person develops that desire. So he's seeing a movie and he's seeing the hero moving in Mercedes-Benz. And all through the movie he's sitting and dreaming that I should have my Mercedes-Benz. I should have my Mercedes-Benz. And the movie is over, he comes out and he has a scooter he has to kick. It doesn't get started. Or worse still, in Bombay, he gets pushed in the local train. Right. And then he's thinking, when will I have my Mercedes-Benz? And before he can finish his dream, he's pushed out of the train. And then he's thinking, when will the day come? When will the day come? So it is not wrong to have aspiration. But sometimes if you become obsessed and you start dreaming of things beyond actual possibility, then person goes into depression. And they call this the beautiful people syndrome. And therefore I tell this story that in one office, so people basically, whatever they have, they never are satisfied and they are constantly worrying. And worry is a thing which kills. Right? Worry is something which kills. I say worry is like a rocking chair. It moves you a lot, but it gets you nowhere. You are simply sitting on a rocking chair and moving up and down. So if a person is constantly worrying, thinking, oh, why it happened like this, why it happened like that, when will I get this, when will I get that, there is no end to it. Like in an office, the boss, he called his clerk and said, I am going to make you the head worrier. There is a new post I am creating. He said, what is this post? I never heard of this. He said, don't worry. I will give you 30,000 rupees per month salary. And your job is to take all my worries and worry on my behalf. So I said, that's great. So when will I get my first salary? Boss said, that's your first worry. So it's practically impossible to make sure that you can lead a life without worries. It's difficult. But the whole idea is, if a person is obsessed, if a person is constantly thinking, is greedy, there is no end to which he is tormented from within. And he goes through emotional disorders. And therefore, this is a very, very important principle which one has to think about. So many people leave their nice families, good farming professions in villages and come to Bombay. If you analyze the situation in Bombay, more than 60% is filled with people from villages. They have come dreaming of becoming Amitabh Bachchan, dreaming of becoming, you know, someone, right? Like one gentleman had four sons. He had his four sons, and he was telling his friend, you know, my four sons, one is a producer, one is a director, one is a music director, and the fourth is a fruit vendor. So his friend said, my God, your fourth one is foolish. The other three are doing so well. So the father said, the fourth one, the fruit vendor, is the only one who's earning anything. Others are only having their dreams, not doing anything. So typically most people come to big cities and they keep dreaming. But practically speaking, it ultimately results in various types of disorders. And therefore, we find that in modern day and age, the cases of depression are increasing more and more. Because you can never fulfill all of your expectations as you dream. So one has to face the actual reality. Other is political. This results in corruption, failure of democracy, and political uncertainty. Corruption and politics go hand in hand. And so many scams, so many scandals, they keep rocking the parliament now and then. People keep talking about it. And people have come to accept it, that if you have to get job done, then you have to pay a bribe. Otherwise things don't get done. And that's because of greed. And ecological consequences are too deadly. And this list which you will see on the screen is horrifying. The ecological consequences are malnutrition. 6 million people, they die per annum. Smoking, 3 million die. Cooking fires, 4 million. Skin cancer, 10,000. Chemical exposure, 1 million. Due to radon, 16,000. And water and air pollution, 2,000 children. They get severe colitis, diseases of the stomach, and they die. Such a heavy death rate. It is all because of heavy industries, pollution of air, water, natural resources, destruction of the ozone layer, which allows the ultraviolet rays to enter, destroys our skin, destroys our very systems, and creates so many diseases. Therefore, we can see the horrible consequences of greed. Do not think that it is just a very innocuous kind of a problem. It is very local, and it is up to each person to decide whether he wants to be greedy or not. No. The individual motivation which you and I will have will affect the environment around us, because each one of you is potentially a politician, a businessman, an industrialist, a leader tomorrow. And depending on the kind of motivations you have, you will create an environment around you. You will lead your organization accordingly. And therefore, for you to develop these values from within at this stage is very important, because that will create a mood of selfless service within you and amongst the people who are working under you and around you. So let us see the cause for greed. The origin of greed, according to the Bhagavad Gita, is in the mode of passion. And according to Srimad Bhagavatam, it is from the lips of Lord Brahma. So Bhagavad Gita describes that rajogun rajaso lobha evacha. Rajogun, or mode of passion, gives rise to greed. And what are the dynamics? How does the greed work? It begins with the enjoyment attitude. What is the enjoyment attitude? Person feels, I want to satisfy my senses. So that desire is there, but the desire is coupled with an egocentric attitude that yes, I can fulfill my desire. So each person has a certain ego, a feeling, a sense of confidence that I can accomplish something. So we feel based on the intelligence, the education, the money power which we have, we can fulfill our desires. And this results in the third, hankering attitude. Not only I can fulfill my desire, I want to increase my desires even more. I want to work harder to fulfill my desires more. I want more. So the desire goes on increasing. As they say, the desires are so unlimited in nature that even if you have ink, which is equivalent to the oceans, even if you have paper which spans practically the unlimited sky, and you have a pen with a nib which is so fine as the tip of a hair, and you try to write your number of desires with this ink on that paper, the ink will be finished, but your list of desires won't get over. That is the nature of desires. And therefore Bhagavatam describes, kamasyantam hikshut tritbhyam krodhasya itat falodayat janoyati nalobhasya jitva bhuktva disho bhuva. Kamasyantam, a comparison is made between lust, anger and greed. Question is asked, which is most powerful? Lust is most powerful? Anger is most powerful, or greed is more powerful? Lust, kamasyantam hi kshutatritbhyam. If a person fulfills his lusty desire, then he is satisfied to a certain extent. Or kamasyantam hi kshutatritbhyam. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you eat and drink, you're full. Or if you are fasting, on the days of fasting, when you are not even eating any food or not even drinking any water, then your obsession is with drinking water and eating food. And even though the lusty desire may be there, it is latent within. It is not manifest. And one does not feel lusty on days of fasting because the body is so weak. And so on the next day when you have to break your fast, the last thing on your mind is fulfillment of lusty desire. Even if young boy sees some beautiful woman or something, he will not be attracted. He will only see if she has water with her. Because the whole desire is to drink water, to eat food. Because hunger has taken away that effect. So kshutatritbhya means hunger and thirst can many times take away the influence of lust. Krodhasya itat phalodayat. And as far as anger is concerned, you display your anger on someone and then you forget it. But jano yati na lobhasya jitva bhuktva disho bhuva. As far as greed is concerned, you may conquer all the four directions. But in spite of conquering all four directions, the greed, the desire never comes down. It goes on increasing. Therefore, out of all of these, the greed is most powerful. And therefore, greed is very difficult to overcome. And this is the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are constantly calculating, working, trying to figure out how we can maximize the fulfillment of our desires. How can I get the most? And therefore, the greed never decreases. So even if there is fulfillment of desire, the hankering comes. But material nature is such that although we may try our level best, we are under illusion because of this egocentric attitude, thinking that I am in control, but actually I am not in control. And nature forces us to accept punishment and smashes our desires periodically. And that should make us realize that we have to change our ways. I can not fulfill my desires all the time. I have to appreciate the presence of a supreme power and accept whatever is necessary for me and then share the resources with others. Just like there was a man who was caught by the king for adulteration of food. So the king caught hold of him and was very heavy with him, chastised him. You are adulterating the food, killing people. We are going to punish you. I am giving you three choices. First choice, you have to pay 10,000 gold coins. Second choice, you will be whipped, 100 whiplashes on your back. Third choice, you have to drink 10 kilos of ghee. Which one would you prefer? And this man started thinking, 10 kilos of ghee, that looks like a good option. And what kind of punishment is giving? He is asking me to drink ghee. Ghee is so costly and they are giving me ghee to drink. And that too as punishment. That's a great thing. He said, sir, for me all the three are okay, but I think the third option would be fine. So they started feeding him ghee. 1 kilo, 2 kilo, 3 kilo. How much ghee can you drink? After 4th kilo of ghee inside, he was about to burst. He said, stop, I can't drink anymore. So the king's men said, okay, we have to go to the second option now. We have to beat you 100 whips. They started beating him. 1, 2, 3, 10, 20. Said, stop, stop, I can't take any more. Okay, pay 10,000 gold coins. So this fellow was trying to avoid all the punishments, but he landed up paying all the three. That is what material nature will do. That you try to avoid the influence of nature and try to fulfill your desires in a certain way, but material nature will attack in a different way and we are forced to surrender. Therefore, the fulfillment of greed is not possible, and that is what Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. That is what Ishopanishad is teaching us, that the entire creation has been made perfect and complete. We have to accept our quota. And let us see what are the solutions which are recommended. First is, we have to control our desires. And control desires by discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth. Asankalpa jayat kamam krodham kama vivarjanat artha anartha ikshaya lobham bhayam tattvavam arshanat. So lobha can be conquered by artha anartha ikshaya, by discussing the disadvantages of accumulation of wealth. One can conquer over greed. That means there should be discussion on how the wealth can create destructive effects. And 11th canto describes arthasya sadhane siddhe utkarshe rakshane vaye kamopabhog ayasha trasah chinta matinrinam. At every stage, earning money, arthasya sadhane siddhe, once I have earned money, utkarshe, increasing bank balance, rakshane, protecting, kama upabhoga, when trying to spend, this money, this wealth will give you trasah, lot of anxiety, chinta, matir, nrinam, will put you in stress. And therefore, one must have proper goals in life. Money is not wrong, but you must have proper motives, you must have proper values, and you must know how to utilize it. Otherwise, if one is simply impelled by greed, he will only land up with dissatisfaction and frustration. That is the version according to the Shastras. And we can find that practically in so many examples. So many big businessmen, they have gone into depression, committed suicide, not because they couldn't earn money, but many times because they got so much of money, they didn't know what to do with it. They expected to be happy and blissful at a certain stage, but they could not handle it. And therefore, so many cases of suicides have taken place. So, trasa, kamopabhoga ayasa, trasa, chinta matir. In fact, there is an interesting statistic of the billionaires club in US. The billionaires club in the US, they meet together. And what do? They meet together and then they have a plan of going out for begging. They get so bored with being deadly rich and everyone is respecting them, everything is going according to plan, everything is just perfectly organized, they get bored with their lifestyle. So what they do is, each one of them wears the dress of a beggar and they go out begging. They go out begging and then they collect from people as beggars and then come back and then they discuss their experiences of begging. And then they share who has collected the maximum money through begging. And on that they put bet, who will collect more money through begging. And in this way they are trying to just do some time pass. Why? Because life is so boring. Nothing much to achieve anymore. Already made billions. Therefore, if one thinks that simply getting money will make you satisfied, then we are in an illusion. Last week, we celebrated an 8-day festival at Cross Maidan. And the Saturday, I think exactly a week back, last Saturday, the keynote speaker was Alfred Ford, Ambarish Das, of the Ford family. And he was giving this address and he was saying, I have reached the end of the road. All of you are on the road for making money, for success, and to make it at the top. I have been to the end of the road and I have seen there is nothing there. So please don't take that road. Use your time, use your energy in order to develop yourself from within so that you know you have something concrete to do with your time, energy and wealth. And that is exactly what we have to do as far as conquering greed is concerned. Conquer the dissatisfaction by analyzing the effects of dissatisfaction. Therefore, this is the solution. We have to control our desires and conquer our dissatisfaction by analyzing the effects. So we should know that these feelings of dissatisfaction can never be conquered unless we make an attempt. Just like a rubber ball. You put a rubber ball on top of ocean, it will always float on top. So the feeling of dissatisfaction is like a rubber ball. Whatever we may do, it will always be on the surface and drain away our enthusiasm, energy and strength. So let us see what are the applications. There are 7 easy tips to overcome greed. The first is serve others. Pashyataitan mahabhagan परस्यैकांत जीवितान् वात वर्षा तप हिमान् सहन्तो वारयन्तिन। वी शुड लर्न फ्रॉम द ट्री। द ट्री हैज अ नेचर ऑफ एक्सपीरियंसिंग ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ मिजरी बट हेल्पिंग अदर्स by giving out its fruits, its shade, its products selflessly. Real satisfaction comes not in accumulating, usurping and enjoying for oneself, but in giving, in sharing, in serving. This is the secret of satisfaction and joy in life. Real peace and contentment comes by serving. And therefore, life is like a tennis match. If you have to win, you must know how to serve. And therefore, in tennis match, everything begins with what principle? Love all. So therefore, that is the principle of Krishna consciousness. Serve others based on the principle of accepting every soul as part and parcel of Krishna. And one should not think that one will gain by accumulating, but one should know, one should be in the trustee consciousness. I have been made trustee by the Lord. These resources, this wealth, this power which I have is not mine. It existed before I came, it will exist after I go. I have been entrusted with this, let me use it for a good cause. Prabhupada gives this story. There was this beggar who was going door to door. He came to this lady's house and said, please give me some alms. And this lady was in an angry mood. She came out with a lot of ash from the sigri and poured it on his chadar, which he was holding. Said, you want some alms? Take this. Get lost. And he said, thank you so much. I will come again tomorrow. And the lady said, what? I am giving you so much of ash, still you will come tomorrow? And the man said, I see that at least you have begun the task of giving something. So therefore I feel confident that today you are giving ash, tomorrow you will give cash. So therefore I will come. So therefore we have to begin somewhere. And therefore, even if you met people who have not begun giving or serving, but gradually, by being in the right association, they will develop this consciousness. And so, this association is very important. Second is, avoid meat eating. As I already mentioned, that meat eating is a very deadly disease. It can destroy all of us morally, spiritually, even in terms of health. So we have to avoid this meat eating. And so many big outlets are opening up all over India, inducing people to come and enjoy, eat cow's meat, to eat meat of various types. But we should know the heavy, serious karmic consequences. Thirdly, train the mind in satisfaction. Bhagavatam describes that satisfaction is just like shoe. If the mind is like a foot, then satisfaction is like a shoe. Your foot will be unaffected in any terrain, whether it's a nice paved ground, or pebbles, stones, thorns, if you have a good strong shoe. With strong shoes you can walk on any territory and remain unaffected. Similarly, the mind which is like a foot, if it is covered with a strong shoe of satisfaction, in any circumstance and situation in life, you will be unaffected. Therefore, one has to train the mind in satisfaction. Insulate yourself, the intelligence, with knowledge. And knowledge from shastras, knowledge from books which are available here for sale outside. Read these books, study these books, and fill up your mind and intelligence with inspiration derived from these books. Spiritualize your desires. And that's very important. Because desires are neutral. Just like Titanic was floating on water, but it sank because of water. Water in one form floats the ship. Water in another form, in the form of ice, sinks the ship. Similarly, desires are neutral. Spiritual desires keep you afloat. Material desires will sink and capsize your consciousness and drag you down in future lives to hellish conditions. Therefore, one has to spiritualize one's desires. Feast on Krishna Prasad, because prasadam is the most tangible and practical way in which the soul can experience Krishna consciousness and Krishna's mercy. And that's a very powerful process of starting your spiritual journey. And lastly, yield to Krishna's will. Submit and surrender to the Supreme Will. Know that there is a Lord who has His laws, and I cannot be an outcast. I have to follow the laws. And as they say, submission to God's will is the softest pillow to rest. So in this way, you follow these principles, as I call it, satisfy. Follow these principles in your own life. These principles will help you overcome greed within the heart. And to enable this, you can take to the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Know that greed is like an infection of the mind. Just like we have infection of the body, you take a pill. So when there is infection of the mind, it needs treatment. And the medicine to treat the infection of this mind, the infection of greed, the medicine is the chanting of the Hare Krishna. You try chanting these holy names, and gradually you will see how you are becoming freed from the influence of not only greed, but also lust, anger, and all of these various influences. So with this, I come to a conclusion of my presentation. I am grateful again to the organizers for giving me an opportunity to address this August assembly on the occasion of your first Prerna festival. Also extend my appreciation to His Grace Radhesham Prabhu for inspiring the youth here in Pune and so many places all over India by organizing these preaching programs. And I am hopeful that all of you will take full benefit of these facilities being provided by IYF Pune and BASE. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
गीता के तृतीय अध्याय में कर्मयोग की बात कही गई है, पर वर्तमान परिस्थिति में कर्म क्या किया जाए जिनसे हम अपनी इस ग्रीड्स के ऊपर कुछ कंट्रोल कर सके, उसे
अच्छा प्रश्न है,
कहां जोड़ा जा सकता है।
एक बार एक महात्मा जी थे, तो उनके एक अनुयायी उनसे प्रश्न किए कि गुरुदेव, वर्तमान युग में अर्वाचीन मानव को किस प्रकार का कर्म करना चाहिए। तो गुरु ने उत्तर दिया कि मेरे आचरण को ध्यान से देखिए और मेरे आचरण से कुछ शिक्षा आपको प्राप्त हो जाएगी। यही निकट उनको बिठा लिया। कुछ समय के पश्चात एक सज्जन उनसे मिलने आए, गुरु के लिए एक थाली में कुछ भेंटनामा लेके आए थे, कुछ फल, कुछ फूल, कुछ दक्षिणा, और उस थाली के ऊपर एक कपड़ा लगा हुआ था। तो जैसे ही वो आए, गुरु ने तुरंत उन व्यक्ति को देखा भी नहीं, कुछ पूछा भी नहीं, किसी प्रकार से उनका अभिवादन नहीं किया, सीधा वो कपड़ा उठाया और बिल्कुल अपने सामने ढक लिया और प्लेट अपने पास खींच लिया और पूरा चादर से ढक कर खटाखट अंदर जो कुछ था खाने लगे। और बचा कुचा जो बीज था वो बस बाहर पर फेंक दिया और फिर खाली थाली वापस लौटा दिए, हाथ धो लिया, बैठ गए। तो बेचारे सज्जन थे वो शिष्य को कहने लगे, बड़ा कमाल के गुरु है तुम्हारे, इतना कुछ प्रेम से मैं भेंट लेके आया, मुझे देखा तक नहीं, कुछ पूछा तक नहीं, सीधा काम शुरू, ये किस टाइप के आपके गुरु हैं। बड़े झल्लाकर वहां से चले गए। तो गुरु ने शिष्य को बुलाया, बोले क्या प्रतिक्रिया थी उनकी, बोले बड़े क्रोधित थे। तो कहा कि जीवन में इस तरह का कर्म नहीं करना चाहिए। फिर दूसरे सज्जन आए, वो भी अपने हाथ में थाली में भेंट लेके आए थे। तो जैसे ही वो गुरु के सामने आए, प्रणाम गुरुदेव करके वो प्रणाम ही किए थे, तो गुरु उनको बड़े प्रेम से हाथ जोड़कर कहने लगे, आइए सज्जन जी बैठिए, क्या हाल है आपका। ऐसे ऐसे करते हुए सामने आम पड़ा हुआ था उनके प्लेट में, आम उठाया और कहां से आना हुआ, ऐसा कहते कहते आम को दूर फेंक दिया हूं उठा के। फिर केला उठाया और केला उठा के यूं यहां फेंक दिया। फिर नारियल उठाया, नारियल उठा के यूं वहीं सामने पटक दिया। एक एक आइटम उठा उठा के फेंक रहे थे। तो सज्जन बड़े परेशान हो गए। तो शिष्य को कहने लगे, बड़े कमाल के गुरु हैं, बहुत कठिनाई से मैं बटोर बटोर के लेके आया हूं, अल्फोंसो मैंगो लेके आया था, इतना महंगा, अगर दान में ही देना था तो प्रेम से देते, उठा के कहां पटक दिया, और वो भी मुझे पूछा नहीं, बड़ी बदतमीज है ये। कोई बात नहीं, फिर कभी हम आएंगे, ऐसा कहकर चले गए। गुरु ने पूछा उनकी प्रतिक्रिया कैसे रही, तो बोले वो तो और क्रोधित थे। तो गुरु ने कहा, ये जीने का तरीका नहीं है, कर्म ऐसे नहीं करना है। फिर तीसरे सज्जन आए, वो बैठे, तो गुरु ने उनको प्रणाम किया और उनसे नाम पूछा, प्रेम से बात करने लगे, और फिर उनने जो भेंट लाई थी सर्वप्रथम उनको प्रदान किया, कहा कि लो ये आप जो नारियल लेके आए हो, ये फल लेके आए हो, आप इसे स्वीकार करो। फिर आसपास जितने दूसरे बैठे थे उन सभी को वितरित किया, फिर स्वयं भी उसे स्वीकार किया। और फिर ये तीसरे सज्जन गए बड़े संतुष्ट होकर। तो फिर गुरु ने शिष्य को पूछा, अब ये कैसे थे, बोले हाँ ये संतुष्ट हुए। तो गुरु ने कहा, जीवन में आपको ऐसी शैली अपनानी चाहिए, प्रथम व्यक्ति है कर्मी, अर्थात वह केवल भोग में रुचि रखता है, जो कुछ भगवान देते हैं तुरंत स्वीकार करो, झपटो, देखो नहीं कि कौन दे रहा है, कहां से दे रहा है, प्लेट आ गया बंद करो और अपना खाओ, तो सामने वाला परेशान। दूसरा है त्यागी, जो दे रहा है उसको स्वीकार नहीं कर रहा, केवल त्यागी कर रहा है, भगवान इतना कुछ दे रहे हैं वो कह रहे नहीं नहीं मैं त्यागी हूं, मैं सब कुछ त्याग देता हूं। लेकिन तीसरा व्यक्ति है जो कुछ भगवान देते हैं वो भगवान को ही समर्पित करते हैं, और जो कुछ अवशेष प्राप्त हो वो प्रसाद के रूप में स्वीकार करते हैं। तो कर्म का मर्म यह है कि जो भगवान दे वो भगवान को समर्पित करके अवशेष प्रसाद के रूप में स्वीकार करें, अपने जीवन के प्रत्येक क्षण को भगवान की सेवा में इस तरह लगाएं। जिस तरह श्वास हमारे शरीर से अभिन्न है, उसी प्रकार भगवान का नाम हमसे अभिन्न होना चाहिए। निरंतर भगवान का नाम रटते हुए, भगवान का चिंतन करते हुए, उनके लिए ही अपने इस शरीर मनसा वाचा काया उनकी सेवा में लगाएं, ये कर्मयोग का मर्म है। हरे कृष्ण।
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Gaurang Prabhuji. Before moving into second question, we would like to request, ofna chahta hu ki himmat aur lobh mein kya antar hai?
Himmat aur
lobh mein. Sir, jaise ki Mahabharat mein likha hua hai ki Yudhishthir ke paas sare bhog the, lekin wo kisi bhi bhog ke prati asakt nahi the. Yadi hum anasakt karke bhog ka sanchay aur unka upbhog kare, to kya wo bhi lobh mein aata hai? Ya jaise Hindi ke mahan kavi Dinkar ne kaha ki zindagi ki सागर के किनारे पर सीपीओ पे तुम्हारा हक नहीं है, तुम्हारा हक सागर के भीतर पड़े हुए सीपीओ पे है, तो जाओ हिम्मत करो और उन सीपीओ को ले लो।
आपने जो कहा उचित कहा है कि यदि भगवान हमको कुछ प्रदान करते हैं और हमारी चेतना शुद्ध है तो उसे भगवान की सेवा में लगा सकते हैं। लेकिन अनासक्त भाव लाना इतना आसान नहीं, और अनासक्ति किस तरह से उत्पन्न करे उसके लिए हम ये मंत्र के जाप का विवरण बता रहे थे। कई बार जब कुछ नहीं होता तो लोग कहते हैं अब मैं अनासक्त हूं, लेकिन जब आने लगता है तब अचानक फिलॉसफी चेंज होने लगती है। तो इसलिए कई बार ये कहना बहुत कठिन है कि आसक्त क्या और अनासक्त क्या। जैसे हमारे एक भक्त बताते हैं, जब वो हमारे मंदिर के संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम में आते थे कॉलेज से, तो कहते थे कि मुझे वो प्रसाद के प्रति इतना प्रेम था, वो प्रसाद के प्लेट पे मेरा पूरा ध्यान लगा रहता था, कभी मैंने देखा नहीं कि प्रसाद सर्विस कौन करता था। अब जैसे यहाँ प्रसाद सर्विस के वॉलंटियर कुछ उठ के गए, तो वैसे ही प्रसाद के लिए हमेशा कोई ना कोई सर्विंग करता है। तो कह रहा था कि मैंने कभी ऊपर सर करके देखा नहीं कि सर्विस कौन कर रहा है, आज तक कुछ कोई याद नहीं कि कौन लोग सर्विस करते थे। केवल उस समय मैं ऊपर देखता था, कब, जब प्लेट पर कोई आइटम कम गिरता था। हलवा की अपेक्षा है और बिल्कुल इतना सा गिरा, तो गुस्से से देखता था कौन है वो जो मुझे नहीं दे रहा। तो वैसे कई बार हम अपने जीवन की थाली भरने में इतने मग्न होते हैं कि विचार नहीं करते कि ऊपर से देने वाला कौन है। तो कई बार वो ऊपर से सप्लाई कम कर देता है, ले इतना सही, तब तुरंत ऊपर देखते हैं, भगवान ये क्यों कर रहे हो तुम। इसलिए ये भगवान की ओर से एक हमारे लिए भेंट स्वरूप है। तम दुराराध्यम आराध्य सताम अपि दुरापया कृतज्ञ कोनो सेवेत सुखाराध्यम असाधु भी। तम सुखाराध्यम आराध्य, भगवान को सेवा करना और उनको संतुष्ट करना बहुत आसान है, लेकिन जब कृतज्ञ व्यक्ति होगा तभी भगवान की सेवा पूजा कर सकता है। कृतज्ञ कोनो सेवेत दुराराध्यम असाधु भी, लेकिन कोई असाधु है वो भगवान को संतुष्ट नहीं करने का प्रयास करेगा, स्वयं के हवस पूर्ण करने का प्रयास करेगा। और कोई प्रश्न? या
यू आर डेलिंग दैट टू सेटिस्फाई फ्रॉम विद इन वी शुड ओवरकम द ग्रीड फॉर द मनी, दैट इज राइट, बट इन द प्रेजेंट सोसाइटी वी टेक द एग्जाम्पल मीन्स द यू गेट द मोर रिस्पेक्ट इफ यू हैव गॉट मोर मनी, मीन्स यू विल गेट योर स्टेटस इन द सोसाइटी विल बी डिसाइडेड बाय द मनी यू विल हैव। You forget about the society, this is also true about the family members. More you money you will have, your family members will stick to you. There are the cases where the family members itself are detaching because of the money. So in that case, how to control that factor? Yeah, money is not that much necessary, but to have minimum money is necessary to have respect and status in the society. In fact, it is a need for living, to more money. So you should always try for getting more money to at least satisfy these factors. So how to control that feeling? Because sometimes you feel inferior.
Yeah. So you have to do the minimum required to do whatever is needed. We are not, the seminar is not meant to say that from tomorrow start giving away your possessions. We are not expecting you that tomorrow morning you take, withdraw all your money from bank balance and go to the chowk in Pune. Start giving. What happened? I attended seminar, overcoming greed. Just distributing. You know? And not that you go and tell parents. So now, finished. You know, I tried a lot, but you know, I don't want to try because ultimately there will be frustration. So, better have no expectation. I am not greedy to pass, you know. I already have 3 KTs. I'm sufficient. So, It is not a recommendation to become lazy or to become irresponsible or not to perform your minimum duty. You have to do the needful. You have to work. You have to strive to your duty. But you should do it in the right consciousness. Duryodhan and Arjun, both were fighting. Who was greedy? Duryodhan or Arjun?
Duryodhan. Jo Bhagwan Krishna jab soye hue the, sir ke taraf
se. Yes. Thank you. Wait. We have time for the next question. Our next question man has already started answering also. So, Duryodhan and Arjun, and many people start feeling that Duryodhan and Arjun both are same only. You say, aap log Hare Krishna wale Duryodhan ko bahut gali dete ho. Lekin utna bura bhi nahi tha wo. Achha raj kiya. Us samay unemployment bilkul nahi tha. Kitna achha wo sarkar chala raha tha. To kyon itni galiyan dete ho? Wo bhi to yodha tha. Balram ji ko bahut priya tha. So like this, so many arguments they give. That Duryodhan was also not so bad. But if actually this was the case and Duryodhan and Arjun both same, then nobody keeps their family some child's name Duryodhan. Why? How many of you know anyone in your family that astrologer has said, ladke ka naam D se hona chahiye? Aur kisi ne uska naam suggest kiya Duryodhan rakho. Kabhi suna hai? और क्या आप में से कोई विचार कर रहा है कि भविष्य में ऐसा करूंगा आई विल क्रिएट हिस्ट्री बाय कीपिंग माय सन्स नेम दुर्योधन स्कूल में जाओ बताओ मेरे बेटे का नाम दुर्योधन है स्कूल वाले 10 बार घूर के देखेंगे तुमको नाम देख के बोलेंगे दूसरे स्कूल में जाओ यहां पे महाभारत नहीं चाहिए हमको सो व्हाई दिस दुर्योधन व्हाट इज सो बैड If after all, you know, he was also a great politician, warrior, administrator, this, that. Because he was leading a life which was impelled and motivated by greed for power. And therefore, he is portrayed as the symbol of adharma. And Arjun was typically going through this syndrome. No, I want to renounce everything, let them have everything, I am going away, we should not be greedy, we should not be this, we should not be that. Krishna said, stop, you are not going anywhere, you have to fight, because that's your duty. So therefore, Krishna stopped Arjuna from escaping from the battle and gave him an opportunity to fight for the right cause. So you have to fight for the right cause. You have this battlefield of Pune and you are all warriors and you have now accepted Krishna as your chariot driver. Accept instructions from him and fight. Finish your studies, get a good job, use your spare time in serving humanity. So therefore when you come to these programs, we are not after your study time. We are not after your profession time. We are not after your family time. But you have time which you have free. Which you keep aside for entertainment, recreation, for various other things. That time must be utilized to rejuvenate yourself spiritually. How many of you here study 24 hours a day? Nobody. Practically. Right, even if you are studying in school or college or hostels, so much of time is spent simply in just discussing all kinds of, you know, nonsense which has no consequence. 2-3 fellows in, you know, shorts are standing in some hostel room and they are discussing, you know, what the Prime Minister should be doing now. As if that he is going to be informed about this and he is going to take some decision based on their discussion. But so much of time is wasted. In just so much of discussion, which has no consequence. So the whole idea is, you have to stop wasting your time, be conscious of every moment, and utilize your study time to the best possible ability, and then your free time, your spare time you give to developing your mind and consciousness and drilling your consciousness, so that when you're alert, then your capacity increases, your concentration increases, your efficiency develops. Otherwise, biggest problem with student is that half the time is spent in daydreaming. The book is in front, two lines he reads, then he's thinking something else. He's traveling all over the world. Then 1 hour he's on the same page. Why? Because mind is not focused. Mind is not focused. So when mind is not focused, you can't concentrate. And if you can't concentrate, you can't be efficient. Therefore, rather than daydreaming, you become efficient and work to your capacity and get the results. Therefore, this chanting of the Maha Mantra will help you focus. So you can take information about this chanting from various counters outside, or from your friends and, you know, other setup here to help you understand this network. Take some malas, chant Hare Krishna and see the difference. Next question.
Sir, I want to ask a simple question. In Bhagavad Gita, the sar is that we should not think for the fruit while working. But if we will not set smart targets and work hard to achieve that smart... If we will not set some smart targets and work hard to achieve that target, so is there any difference between setting smart targets and working hard for it and saying that karma karne ke waqt phal ka bare mat sochiye?
Take Arjuna only as an example. Now Arjuna had many smart targets in front of him after the Gita was spoken. At least he had 11 Akshayini divisions. He had Duryodhan, Dushyasan, Karna, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, this, that, so many targets. So Arjuna was not fighting without targets. Arjuna had heard the Gita, just fresh. The first recipient of Gita was Arjuna. Karmanyeva adhikarasthi, Mahapulesh, we had heard. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam, sarvalokameshwaram. Everything you should offer, yad karoshi, yadashnashi. Arjuna was now fighting for Krishna. But he was not fighting in a detached mode that, okay, I have the arrow, I have the bow, I will just shoot it up and then chant the holy names and it will find its target. Ye baan Duryodhan ke naam. So he was shooting, he was concentrating, he was focusing. So detachment doesn't mean, or working, not focusing on the fruits does not mean that you don't focus on the work. It means you're not doing in a mood to enjoy the fruits. So therefore Arjuna was fighting with full enthusiasm. Arjuna had not come there for doing kirtan. They were fighting furiously and they were targeting. But what was the motive? To please Krishna. It was a dharma yuddha. Kurukshetra was like an operation theatre. The battlefield of Kurukshetra was an operation theatre where a human society had been admitted in a sick condition with the infection of the pus and the sore of the Kaurava family. And Krishna was the supreme surgeon who had come to perform the operation, and he was using Arjuna as an instrument to perform that operation. That was the whole task on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So Arjuna was doing his duty of being an instrument in Krishna's hand and allowing Krishna to cut through the pus and the sore which was infecting human society. And then at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, all the soldiers were liberated. Society was again reinstated in its normal condition. So, what's the schedule now? It's 9:10.
Krishna conscious.
Handle
some kind of guilt which all of us have, because all of us have committed some kind of crime sometime or the other. If not crime in the legal sense, but some kind of things which are contradicted to our own consciousness. So how do we handle those situations? Please, can you throw light on these?
First answer is, Krishna says in Gita, Suhurdam Sarabhutanam. There are three types of friends. One is called Mitra, one is called Bandhu, one is called Suhrit. So Mitra is a social friend. Bandhu is an official friend. In office we develop acquaintances, they are called also friends. That's known as Bandhu. In your colony, in your society, in your neighborhood, you have people who know you. They are known as Mitra. But the real friend is known as Suhrid, your well-wisher. So Krishna says, I am the supreme well-wisher of every soul because I am seated next to the heart, next to the soul as Paramatma. And therefore, for someone to be well-wisher, he has to have all of these qualities. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichchata Bhayam. Krishna is Bhagavan, filled with all opulences. He knows the innermost part of our heart. So a friend is someone who knows us intimately. He knows exactly what suffering, what problem we are facing. And not only that, he has the power to give the solution. So he is Ishwar. He has the power to give the solution, he has the opulences to give us those solutions. And therefore, the Shastras declare that the most intimate friend we have is the Lord in the heart, Paramatma. And anyone who represents him in the true sense becomes a transparent via media in reaching out God's mercy. He is our true well-wisher. Because real service can only be done in knowledge. Just like I give this example, people say, what is the use of conducting these big lectures? So many people sitting and spending 2-3 hours sitting and hearing. Should go and serve society. So my question is, if you go to medical college, you go to the first year student, they are all sitting and hearing lectures from professor. So you go into the first year classroom and shout, 150 of you sitting and hearing lecture, so many patients are in OPD, go and treat them. So if all these first year students come running to the OPD and the patients come to know that the first year students are coming, they will run away. Because nobody wants to be treated by someone who is having partial knowledge. So therefore the prerequisite for any service is first knowledge. Otherwise you perform a great disservice. Therefore, who is a real true friend? One who has knowledge about this whole cosmic system, about this body, about the soul, about how this entire creation works. And he can provide real benefit because he knows. Therefore, such a person is considered to be true friend. And Krishna says in Gita, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshayishyami. Don't worry about feelings of guilt. Just take my shelter and I will take care of all your previous sins. Do not worry. So all of us are criminals, have criminal tendencies. We have performed sins. But rather than regretting about it forever and not doing anything about it, let us take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna says, Aham Tvam Sarva Pape Bhyo Mokshayishyami. I will free you from all sin. Do not worry. So just like us, we are all like small children. Krishna considers us like small children. Small children, they keep passing urine and stool anytime. And mother's task is to clean it. So Krishna is saying, I will clean up, don't worry, but you just take my shelter. So we have to become childlike in our approach. And when we approach God, accepting Him as our father and mother, then He will take care. With that mood, if we take shelter and be convinced not to commit such sins again, then we will be taken care. So we are very grateful for your very thought-provoking questions. Thank you.